What we have here in front of us is Torahs from the Rebbe Shlita, Rav Matzel Zilber. It's called Otze Gilyoni Devei Torah. This is from the year Tashin Ayin Beis. There's five of them. And in this one, Tashin Ayin Beis, he has a section during the Mehas Sphira where he has drushes on the spheres, explaining the spheres. It doesn't go so much in depth, but Kamuvan, everything the Rebbe says is very beautiful and sweet and deep, and we're going to be learning about Netzach, which is this week's Sphira, from this Sefer. So it's on Daf Shin Chaf He. Shin Chaf He. Just a basic introduction to the Spheres. So, as we mentioned time and time again, that the Spheres are the building blocks of creation. We spoke about this at length on the Sif Sechin Shirim last year, where we got into the Spheres more of Oimek. But for the time which we have now, we'll just talk b'kitzur b'chlal about the Spheres, and then we'll delve into Netzach for a half hour, which we have in Mitzvah Shem, or so. It's impossible to open up a Sefer in Pnimius HaTorah, a Zohar Kadosh, and Arizal, anything related to the world of Pnimius without encountering some mention of the word of a sphere. And like we said, it's the building blocks of creation. So what that means is, just like when we speak, so there's Chaf Beis Osios in Lashon HaKodesh, or however many letters in the ABCs, the Aleph Beis of Pnimius HaTorah, the building blocks of the Briya, is the spheres. And there is nothing which exists in the world which is not connected to a sphere. It's impossible. That means every place, every moment of time, every human being, every blade of grass, everything in creation, every star in the sky, has a name, spiritual DNA, which is unique, just like every person's DNA is different than the next person. So spiritually, every single Nivra has its own identity, which it's like its shame, which is associated with the sphere. And the shayrish of each and every person, let's speak about people right now, will determine everything about it, especially its personality. There's a very good book written by Mrs. Miriam Adahan. You ever heard of it? Called Awareness? 9 Personality Types? It's very on the money. Although the person who, she writes it in a way where it's belavushin of Torah. But really, the system of what's called the Enneagram, I like to call it the Enneagram, because it talks about the Ani of a person, is secular. No, not Chinese even. It is secular. But like everything, there's Chachma, Yesh Chachma Bagayim Tamin, and it connects to the spheres. And the different personality types are matched up by numbers. And we don't have time to go into which numbers are which. You know, you start to learn about yourself through the Enneagram. I've, Baruch Hashem, discovered a lot, a certain tkufa in my life, about myself through the Enneagram and understanding the spheres. So each person is a sphera. And the reason why we're different, our personalities, our likings, our dislikes, are because of the shayrish of who we come from, who we are, and that's connected to a sphere. So although we count 7 weeks of the sphere as well, move our way into the sphere now. And to us, we count the sphere, and every night is the same pu'ula. We make a bracha, and we count the sphere, and we say, Hayoyim Yoyim is this and that night. And we say, Rachman Yachser, and move on. Right? Every single day of the sphere has a different shame, a different color, a different personality, different mitzius legamre. And making that bracha and counting that sphere opens up a whole new world of tikkun, which needs to take place, like a rung in a ladder, which will bring us to Shavuos. So the Zohar Kadosh tells us that if a person doesn't count Sfira, if he misses a day of Sfira, so he's out. He's out. He doesn't really make it to Shavuos. So although in Halacha, as we mentioned, it's a machlokas haposkim, whether or not Sfira somewhere is one long mitzvah with 49, 50 different parts, or it's 49 parts, it's 49 different mitzvahs, 50 different mitzvahs. In the Zohar Kadosh, the world of Achdus, it's really like a ladder. And if a person misses a rung on the ladder, if it's broken, then you can only climb so high and then you're out. Now, of course, Chalila, nobody's ever out, but the Sfira is very prominent, the topic, the discussion of the Sfira is by these days of Sfira. Like we mentioned before, like even an art school sitter has the Sfira in it when it comes to Sfira Soim. Otherwise, it's just counting. It's not about counting, it's about spheres. Sfira is not just about counting the Omer, it's about the spheres of the Omer. Like everything, the more that we delve into the Pnimius, the more that the Mitzvah becomes richer, becomes deeper, we appreciate it much more, what we're doing, to understand it, Ba'imek. So it's the Sfira Lachas Kama V'Kama. So let's jump right into Netzach, although we missed out on the spheres beforehand, but again, each sphere is a world. So we can talk about Netzach in a way where we can hone in on Netzach, although all interrelated, but we can speak about it and feel there's a certain shlemus in that. So here we go. Says the Rebbe, Be'er midas netzach v'hod. So this is a very fascinating idea how he explains netzach. Hine midas netzach v'hod b'open haragil him polim yachad. So usually when we speak about spheres, we talk about them uniquely, separately, but netzach and hod seemingly always go together, and the Zohar is very clear about that. So we know that the seven Ushpiz and Atzukis correspond to the seven spheres of Chesed, Gvur, Tiferes, Netzach, Hod, Yesod, and Malchus. Like he says here, Ki Avim is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvur, Yaakov is Tiferes, Moshe is Netzach, Aaron is Hod, Yosef is Yesod, and David is Malchus. So we see Shirak, Moshe, and Aaron, Hayushneim, Bedor, Echad. Each one of these great tzaddikim of our forefathers, they were the manhigim, the tzaddikim, the leaders of their own generation. However, Moshe and Aaron, they shared the throne. Ki him k'neged netzach v'hod ha'polim yachad. That's with a purpose. It's for a reason. Because Moshe and Aaron are k'neged netzach and hod, and netzach and hod go together. So he continues. V'chei nechleku hamidus toch gufa shel adam. We know that the spheres correspond to the guf of a person, the body parts. As it says in Pasach Eliyahu, which is the Hakdama to the Sefer of Tikkuni Zohar, Shehazrora Yemin Hu Chesed, the right arm corresponds to Chesed, the Zora Smol is Gvura, the left arm is the Sphere of Gvura, Haguf, the torso is Tiferes, Kihu Iker Binyan Gufa Shal Adam, Hu Bidiyuk Be'emsa, right? The Iker Adam is his torso, and it's exactly in the middle, which corresponds to Tiferes, which is Yaakov, at the center. Ve'habez Raglayim, the 2 feet, Harehim Netzach V'Hod. Now, why is this different? V'Halaroyin, because we see on the person, Sha'adam Yuchal Lifol Gam Biyad Achas Levad. A person can use one hand without using the other, and he can accomplish. Aval Inu Yachal Haluch B'Regal Achas Levad. Can't walk with one foot. V'Hareh Ki Beiz B'Glayim Tzichan Lifol Yachad. Because in order to accomplish walking, both feet need to go together. And that's exactly what Netzach and Hod are all about. In the Netzach v'Hod, ha'poelim yachad. So since Netzach and Hod work together, that's why feet have to work together. It's not because you need to walk and you need to stand, that's why you have 2 feet. It's because, mibsari echse eloka, from my flesh I see Hashem, and now was created b'tzelem elokim. B'tzelem elokim means he's compared to, he's rooted in a higher Adam. So as such, because Netzach and Hod work together, that's why the legs work together. Alon, do you need the printout? You're looking around like you, yeah?
I don't need it.
But maybe somebody could send it to him. V'zeo shamar kosov. This is what it says. Nachisa kitzayin amcha b'yan Moshe and Aaron. Pasuk says in Tehillim, you Hashem, you led your flock, your nation, with Moshe and Aaron. Why does the Pasuk mention Aaron with Moshe? Ayid shnehem yachav. So the Pasuk is hinting to the fact that Moshe and Aaron led B'nai Yisrael, because to say Moshe led wouldn't be sufficient, because one leg can't lead. It has to be 2 legs, hence the Pasuk says Moshe and Aaron. Okay? V'zehu, going deeper now, Ki inyanam shel netzach v'hod hu ha'halicha levar migufa, l'chutz mihaguf. The idea of walking, the fact that a mensch can walk, is because the feet are considered to be part of the Adam, which is outside the Adam. The main Adam is his head to his torso, including that. The feet are considered to be just machines, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created so that the mensch can get around. But they're called lechutz mehaguf. We need to get around. We have to go places in order to accomplish, to be mevarer, to be poil, ulamashal. So being that the legs are outside of us, they correspond to the concept of hashpa, of going outward and giving outside of ourselves. Kitzrichim leilech lemakomashal mevuchas kedei levarim, like we said, ulamashal bin Rabbi v'talmid. Like a Rebbe and a Talmud, Ashahim Geder Mashpiu Makabel, that the relationship between a Rebbe and a Talmud is one of giving and taking. So, when the Rebbe wants to teach his Talmud, so Zehoki Horlechim HaEmes Shelo, the Rebbe knows a certain truth, a certain Emes, which is the Sphira of Tiferes, who had Tiferes Shelo. Tiferes is the meat of Yaakov. Yaakov is Titin Emes Liakov. So Tiferes is the truth which the Rebbe knows, it's in his heart. And now he has to bring it down to the Talmud who stands below him. And the Tzinor to that will be Netzach and Hod, which are the feet which are below him, which are like, they're like Tzinoiris, they're channels, which will bring down the Tiferes which he knows in his heart to the Talmud who sits below him by his feet. El Achutz Shidargas HaTalmud, Sheinu Yodea Adam Yamesu. The Talmud is in the unknown. V'adayno Ein B'makom HaShleimus. And he doesn't have the completion of this das of the Rebbe. V'ha Rebbe mashbias ha'emes v'ashlim eshalo alav. And the Rebbe is going to give this tiferes, this emes, to his Talmud. V'ha kelim shel hashpa zu hinetzach v'hor. So the tools which give the teaching, this emes, to the Talmud is netzach and hod. This is what transfers that information. Shekev mashal ha'talmud hu rachak me'emes. So since the Talmud is not in his Rebbe's heart, meaning that he doesn't understand because he's not part of the Rebbe actually. So the Rebbe, what does the Rebbe need to do? He needs to utilize Netzach and Hod in order to give his emes and his heart to his Talmud. So this is, listen to how the Rebbe explains it. This is very beautiful. And we're only going to see Hod today. I mean Netzach today. Tzarech HaRebbe Lenatzcho. The Rebbe needs to overcome his Talmud. And what does that mean? The first thing that a Rebbe needs to do to a Talmud, he needs to be kona the Talmud. He needs to acquire the Talmud as his Talmud and to make him into a keli to be able to receive. In Pnimei Satorah, this is very important. There's a concept, this is what the Gemara says, that by Bia Rishona, an Isha is not able to have children because she's not a keli yet. So Bia Rishona makes the Isha into a keli, and then by the Bia Shnia, so she's able to have a pregnancy. So just like in that relationship between a Zachar and a Keva, then a Keva is the Makabel, and the Zachar, the husband, is a Mashpia. So too, a Talmud is a Makabel from the Rebbe. And the first thing the Rebbe needs to do is to acquire the Talmud as a Talmud. Before he can learn anything from him, he needs to be Goy Medas, I'm a Talmud who will receive from this person teaching.
Do we say Kinei L'Charav, that person, that Talmud has to be It's the opposite, though.
No, it says Asay L'Charav, yeah.
No, it, oh, Kinei L'Charav.
But it's both. It's both. There's the that's really what I mean. It's not the kasha, you're bringing a raya. The idea is that the Rebbe needs to be poyo on the Talmud, that the Talmud should say, I'm making this person into a Rebbe. If he doesn't do that, then he's not going to be a keli who's going to be makabel. Because the real keli which allows a person to be makabel is the mid of hachna, is the mid of humility. Humility is the keli which is makabel chachma. And unless a person has the humility to say to another person who he sees is greater than him, to say, I'm machnian myself to that person to be makabel, so he hasn't made himself into a keli to receive. He can go to shiurim, and he can listen, and he can be enamored, and enjoy, but that a person makes himself into a keli to be makabel, that he's able to grow in avodas Hashem, midarga ledarga mechayel alchayel. So, the Talmud has to be goymer das to receive by concerning himself a Talmud.
So, it seems like the whole mida of Netzach is in the Talmud, yet the paradigm is Moshe, who's the Rebbe.
But who has the koyach? Who is a Talian to become the Talmud? Are we going to leave it up to the Talmud, who's not a bar das, to become a Talmud of the Rebbe? How could we expect that of the Talmud? Meaning, even that his iris of the Talmud to be going Das, to be a Talmud to the Rebbe, it has to come from the Rebbe. So part of the job as the Rebbe is to be kind to the Talmud. How is he going to be kind to the Talmud? Only if the Talmud says, Aseh Lecha Rav, he's going to be kind to a Rebbe. But that also has to come from the Rebbe. And that's how you know whether or not a Rebbe and a Talmud is a good Shidduch, meaning if this is established. Meaning we go to Shi'urim when we listen, and but there's a certain relationship which exists between a Talmud and a Rebbe, which is a Shoyrish Dika thing, where there's something sometimes we don't even realize, that there's a moment where a person says, I'm a Talmud to that person. Like we have a shul filled with people of Talmidim Rav Weinberger, right? Everybody calls him Rebbe. It's something very special. It's very unique. Many people had a moment where they realized, whether they came for a Shabbos or they were somewhere, they listened to a shir, where they said, you know, they may have heard one shir and they said, this is my Rebbe. This is my Rebbe. I mean, you've heard 1,000 shirim before that, but you heard one shir from this person and you said, no, this is my Rebbe. How did that happen? What happened was is that he won you over. He won you over. He may not be able to explain exactly what it was. You think it was the charisma and it was the soft voice. It has nothing to do with that. It usually has to do with Sharish Neshama. But the Rebbe has to know that when he's teaching the Talmud, that he has to be menatzeach the Talmud. He has to win the Talmud over.
But the Talmud has to have a sense of humility as well.
That's right. And if he's stubborn and he rejects, then he loses out. But we find by Matan Torah that Hashem had to win Bnei Yisrael over. And the Rebbe goes, what?
You put the mountain over our head, though.
Put the mountain over our head, but that's part of winning. That's part of winning. But also, Bnei Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, correct? Nasa V'Nishma was an act. You can teach it in many ways, but for our Shir, what that means, Nasa V'Nishma, it was Bnei Yisrael's acceptance of a Kodesh Baruch Hu as the Rebbe. That's called Nasa V'Nishma. Hashem Yisbarach says, though, Migilu Labanai Rozeh, who taught my children, who told them the secret of Nasa V'Nishma, which the Malachi Hasharis use? Who told them that? How did they know that? I mean, who gave the Talmud the Das to know that they had to be Koina Kodesh Baruch Hu as their Rebbe before they went into Matan Torah? Had Bnei Yisrael not said Ma'asav and Nishma, there couldn't have been Matan Torah. It would have been a nice spectacle, would have been a witness in something which the world never saw before, but that it should be Matan Torah and a Kabbalah Satayra, that couldn't have happened without Ma'asav and Nishma. Because Ma'asav and Nishma was the act that Bnei Yisrael said, this is my Rebbe. And then they were Koina the Diburim. It was a Kenyan Hatayra after that. We have to know how to learn Pshat Nakamara. When Hashem Yisbarach says, Mi Gila Labanai Razeh, who told him the secret of Nasa V'Nishma? What's the answer to that question? The Gemara doesn't provide an answer. Who taught him that? Hashem taught him that. Hashem in his own anivas, in his own humility, is implying to us, teaching us this lesson, that the Rebbe has to be the one to provide the Talmud with the koyach to say, Nasa V'Nishma, I want that person as my Rebbe. That has to come from the Rebbe also. Of course, the question is, how did Hashem do that? Right? One of the ways is he put the mountain over their head, but it's a shayla, whether or not the mountain over that caused him to Nasa V'Nishma, it seemed like it didn't cause him to say, it has to do with before that. So how did Hashem make Bnei Yisrael say Nasa V'Nishma? So we'll leave that for another time. Because we're not going to get anywhere if we do that. So let's continue. So tzarech harebi lenatzchay, right? Fascinating concept. The Rebbe has to overcome the Talmud. V'lasos akli mochsha shiyos to bechalal lekal v'mina. That bechalal he should want to have to receive from him. The Rebbe has to do that. Shari hatamid betchila leimuchin kal lekal v'mina. He's not a keli. Ki hu rachak mi'a emes. He's so far from the truth that the Rebbe knows. What hakar does he have in MS after all? He doesn't know what he's here to receive. This is not just a dynamic between Rebbe and Talmud. So says the Rebbe, within the mensch himself, this phenomenon takes place. If a person wants to be poil something within himself, so the chilek, the part of the mensch where the pu'ula takes place, there needs to be an act of nitzachim which takes place in the Adam in order to succeed. Now nitzachim in what? So the Rebbe explains. For example, this is just one. There's opposition within ourselves that we don't want to grow. We don't want to be matzliach in our avodas Hashem. The Tzahara is the adversary. We need to overcome. We have to be menatzeach the Tzahara. V'hachalakim ha'bilti mishlamim shebesayachayim. Parts of ourselves which are not shalem, which we reject shlemus because it's foreign. It's uncomfortable. V'chin yishtav ezeh ba'oid kamen yonim. It can express itself in various ways. V'anu naktinan inyan Rebbe v'tamad l'mashal b'yama. So for this discussion, we're using Rebbe and Talmud says the Rebbe is a mashal b'yama. V'chorizim anu l'dvarenu. Let's get back to how we began. Because the Rebbe has to be poil on the Talmud, so the first thing that the Rebbe needs to do is to be menatzeach the Talmud, and that's why the very first sfira after Tiferes, which is the truth in the heart of the Rebbe, is Netzach. Because Netzach is the very first pool that the Rebbe has to use on the Talmud when he wants to go out with his teachings, which is what the legs represent, going outside the Adam, outside the torso, which is the Iker Adam, to bring that MS outward. The first midah, the first tzinor is going to be Netzach. So let's see how he explains Moshe Rabbeinu. V'zehu she-Moshe Rabbeinu, who's the sphere of Netzach, garam l'natzeach es Olam HaTeva. Look what Moshe Rabbeinu did to the Olam HaTeva. The Olam HaTeva is very stubborn. It's not easy to make nisim in the world. Ki hoitzis b'nei Yisrael mi-Mitzrayim. He took us out of Mitzrayim. Ayde she-hoitziam mikol ha-tzimtzumim she-Olam HaTeva. To take us out of Mitzrayim, which is a lashon of meitzar, of constriction, Moshe had to take us out of all the rules of nature and of teva. Paro felt that he was in control. He would succeed because of the stubbornness of the olam of teva. Paro said, "Mi Hashem esha eshma b'koylai? Who is this God? This Shem Havaya, like the Zohar says." Mitzrayim, like we said, the meitzar of teva. Paro thought that there wouldn't be any nisim de kedusha which could be poiled on that. V'lorak teva gashmi levan. Not only that, elvigam koyches hakishef nechlalim b'tzimtzumim halal. Even the Paro utilized kishef, and he felt that was machazik, the stronghold which he had on Bnei Yisrael. Ki ha'hanhaga elyoyin emitzam simatzal daniach makom ladachia kishef lebalei mechshaf nifal masharetzim nifal. Hashem, in His infinite way in running the world, gives space for kishef to operate and to exist. Whereas it simsum a hester shall HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifal tachas levushal hester enikar kishav. Vuki inyan shet simsum a HaKadosh Baruch Hu etzatz b'tzimsum a ha'teva v'in chiluk bezeh ben kishav l'teva. So kishav and teva are the same in that it conceals the Ribbono Shel Olam. K'Hashem Yisbarach master b'chulam as hashgachasa, Hashem conceals Himself and His hashgacha through teva, through kishav, which is seemingly a foreign force. Hashem operates covertly. How He's mashgiach in the world, despite teva, despite kisha, which of course is His creations. So Mamela, let's get to the point. Hashem chose Moshe to take us out. Moshe had to be menatzeach the oilam hateva, the oilam hakisha. He had to break them. It was a war. It was a flat-out war between Moshe and the Olam HaShekhar and the Olam of the Sitrach. And Moshe had to win. He had to beat them. He beat them down. They had to be Moedan. They said, Hashem HaTzadik. They gave up. They conceded. And he was Mevatal all the Kishav. So we see that when it came to Yitzias Mitzrayim, which is the hallmark of Moshe Rabbeinu, it was an act of Nitzachal. He defeated Mitzrayim. Didn't have to be that way. But since that's the mid of Moshe, that's the root of his neshama, it's the Koyach of Netzach. So Moshe was Menatzech. He took this truth called Tiferes, which is the Shem Havaya, which is Hashem's truth in this world, and he brought it into Mitzrayim, the Mateda ki Havaya Hashem b'chol ha'aretz. He brought Havaya into Mitzrayim. That means that he's taking Tiferes, which is the Shem of Havaya for those who know, and he, as Netzach, he was the Tzino to bring that low down, like the Talmud is lower than the Rebbe, he brought it into Mitzrayim, break them. Menatzeach Mitzrayim.
The Haidah that they give, that's still part of Netzach, or that is moves on to Haid?
That's how Hod is connected to Netzach. Yeah. Netzach brings to that Hod. Let's skip this next paragraph. I'll just tell you briefly what he says. That the tachlis of that netzach is to bring down a das, an understanding. And Rebbe explains that because Mitzrayim was in such a low state, in such a low place, so Hashem had to use nisim to overcome them. Like he explains that, like we had just mentioned, nisim aren't absolutely necessary. There's other ways to accomplish. But the lower that a person is, if he's like a behemoth, you can't teach a behemoth. If you want to get a behemoth to do what you want it to do, you got to hit it. There's no communicating with it. Right? In all these zoos and all the shamus and all that. So, you know, you have to be tough with them. That's the language which they speak. Later on, you know, you give them treats, and when they do what you wanted them to do, so then you reward them, and then it sends a signal to them that this is what they should do. They should repeat it, but you have to force it, because you have to force a lav bar das. But somebody who's a bar das, you don't need to force. But because Mitzrayim had no das, so Hashem had to force it out of them. But now that we have Torah, so to use nisim is a big b'di'evit, because a person should have enough seichel to know. Through the koyach of seichel should mandate and to force a person to do what's right. So that's why nowadays we don't have nisim like we had koyach matan Torah. Because koyach matan Torah, there was no Torah. So in order to be pile, there had to be through the koyach of force. But nowadays that we have Torah, it's almost disrespectful for Kodesh Baruch Hu to have to use nisim after he gave such a wondrous gift to the world called Torah.
There was a lot of nisim?
No, there weren't.
I'm saying Sisera and... Yeah, I don't know Navi so well.
Right, no, there weren't that many. There was very isolated incidents. But even then, it was... They weren't like moifs and gluyim. You know, even by Sisera, you know, it was in the night, and Hashem brought in one swoop, he killed 185,000 troops. But nobody saw that. They just saw that they were dead. But they didn't see the actual nisim. Well, the mashal, so let's skip to the next paragraph. Kasha hamalamid roitza, lilmud and talmidav. So getting back to the Rebbe and the Talmud. Kevan shehu malamid hamalamid das, since he's teaching das, v'hari rival talmidav meinu roitzen lekabel das. A Talmud doesn't want to receive das. Lachim muchrach linkoit makol lahakos al kadkodam at shisratzu lilmud. So you have to beat it out of the Talmud. That doesn't actually mean to beat it out physically. Right, we'll have to see. Harishem makol zem mishamish linin shal nitzachon. With the makal, the mata of Moshe, the makal of Moshe, shuminatzeach al yados yitzahara shel atamidim. He has to overcome not physically the Talmud, but the yitzahara of the Talmud. The kach zeh she Moshe Rabbeinu asa kol anisim yitzias mitzrayim zehayik mahamakal halos. It was like this staff shuhu mata Moshe she al yado hika alonim hateva. He beat down the olim hateva and he broke the yitzahara in them. Kedesh she yisratzu lilmud himenu. And this is the mid of Moshe, which is the mid of Netzach. And they did. Moshe took out of Mitzrayim millions of Erev Rav. Millions. There were more Erev Rav who left Mitzrayim than there were Yidden. That's how much Moshe was able to overcome. To be benatzeach the klipas Mitzrayim. And by the way, the Chartumim, who were the sorcerers of Mitzrayim, they were be'ikur the Erev Rav. So not only did Moshe beat them, that in this war, which began as when Moshe came and he was turning staffs into snakes, and Paro said, "How we could do that too?" And he brought out the Chartumim. These were the Erev Rav, meaning it was a war. They thought that they could beat Moshe. They lost, and then they succumbed and they said, "Moshe, you're the winner," and they became Talmidim of Moshe. They followed Moshe to the Midbar. He was Menatzeich. He beat the Yitzhar, which is called Mitzrayim.
It's got that situation like Chabad.
Yeah. This is the midah of Netzach of Moshe. Ube'emes midas ha-netzach l'chitzich l'fol dafkei de-hakah. Right? It doesn't have to be actual hitting. Ela yuchal l'fol b'kam v'fanem acharim gamkein. It can be done in many ways. Kigun kasha ha-rebi lo'y made kol kach im ha-talmid. Right? If the Rebbe learns many times with the Talmud, u'mashvi alav kol kach harbi or, and then learning after, and then learning again, and then learning again, and then learning again. Ad she'yitzahara shalom isbatal me'atma v'derech me'mela. So eventually, because of the ribui or that the Rebbe has impressed so many times, consistently on the Talmud, that the Talmud says the Rebbe is winning me over. It doesn't have to happen like in once. It can happen over time. This is also included, he says, Nichla v'midas ha-netzach. He's menatzkoi b'koyach ha-shpa gedolah ma'oid, shu kol kach mashpi alav ad sh'menatzkoi. that he overwhelms him and he overcomes him, and he says to the Rebbe, "You have my heart. You have my heart." I see by my Rebbe many times. So, I know the Rebbe here, he comes and he speaks in Ish Kodesh, and very, very often to those who have heard the Rebbe speak, so people will come to the Shir of the Rebbe, and they'll walk out like their heads are exploding from the Rebbe. Because, and although he has to be a Mitzamtzem himself very, 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 very much, for people who are not even close to the Darga of Das, of Tzaddik like this, so even the Rebbe going down so low is considered to be much, much higher than for most people. And therefore, a person walks away out of that, out of a shir like that, like the Rebbe was menatzeich me. He completely overwhelmed me. He completely overcome me. So now, it doesn't necessarily mean that a person will run and say, like, you know, I'm Rav Matel Zilber, or whoever the person is speaking is. It's just an example. You know, this is going to be my Rebbe now. It doesn't have to be that way. But one thing is for sure, is that after a shir like that, you say, you're machni yourself to such a person, you say, this is a person who, if I hear a toy from him, I'm going to learn toy from him. I know this is a person who's standing on the top of the mountain, and I'm on the bottom of the mountain, and I humble myself to that person, not as a Talmud Mufak to a Rebbe Mufak, but I say to that person, to you I'm a Talmud and you're a Rebbe. Because there's various levels of Rebbe and Talmud. Not always is a person going to say about a person who teaches him Torah, this is my Rebbe, this is my Shorash Neshama Rebbe. That's something which is different, which is called the Rebbe Mufak, which is like exclusive. A person gives the Lord to the Rebbe. Not that he has to only learn from that person, but it's a unique relationship. That's why many times if a Rav goes to a new community and he wants to be mashpi on them, so the best koyach of hashpa that he can do is not just to come in and to teach, you know, like a mimer, that a person should walk away like, you know, now I know it's kafia and it's hafria, the difference between, you know, this and that, or the difference between eshem mishum chetzio, eshem mishum amono, shir in the lomdus and gemar. And the only thing which you've taught them is this shir. But if a person wants to have continuous hashba on people, so then what he needs to do in the first interaction, many times, is you have to be menatzeich them. But they come, and they put up their hands, and they say, I don't know what just happened, I know there was a lot, I know that there's much more than my pay grade, I give myself over, machni myself. That kinyan that a person makes, that humility, that he's machni himself to a person bigger, to say that I'm going to learn from that person, and I see that person as standing at the top of our scene, and I'm on the bottom. That midah, that kinyan hanafesh, is more valuable than any shir. Any kinyan in das, that a person can be koine, isn't as valuable as that, not enough. So even if a person walks away from a shir many times, and he's like, I can't chazer it, I don't know what was said, I don't know anything, but a person is in a place where he realizes, like, there is so much out there. I know I haven't even begin to understand. You open up my eyes to a new world of Torah, to a new dimensions, which I never knew existed. I never knew Torah could be so broad, I never knew Torah could be so deep, I never could be so high. If you walk away with a hergish like that, that is priceless. Because that's the klal of Torah, and everything else is just prat. And that's the mid of Netzach. The koyach of Netzach is that a Rebbe needs to know how to be menatzeich the Talmud. That's why many times a Rebbe will come to give a shir, and he'll just say something which will completely overwhelm them. That's not what the Rebbe miscalculated where they were holding. No, that was Bekavana. That was Bekavana. To overwhelm the Talmud too is also good sometimes. You let the Talmud know who is the Rebbe and who's the Talmud. You establish the relationship of who's the Rebbe and who's the Talmud. If you give that over to a Talmud, he's done the biggest chesed for him. And then after that, many times, which is what Hod will talk about the next week in Mitzvah Hashem, is that when the Rebbe brings himself down to the level of the Talmud, that's a different meaning. But Rebbe has to know how to balance between Netzach and Ono, and they go together. You can't just be a Netzach. You can't always just totally overwhelm your Talmud and totally destroy him, and he won't come back anymore. But you have to be a Netzach, which is Netzach, and then you come to Hod, you come down to his level, and you raise him up, and you establish a real relationship.
So for the Talmudim in the room, the ikr is to be machnia. That's the ikr of avodah of netzach.
Well, Yeah, it's to allow yourself to be menutzach. Yeah. Okay, have a shkoyach.
I said it's got it right.